With Montana News, I'm Rachel Kramer. Congressman Greg Gianforte has been assigned to serve on two congressional committees, one focused on natural resources and the other on government oversight. Republican Greg Gianforte announced his committee assignments today. As a member of the House Natural Resources Committee, Gianforte will help craft policy on a wide range of topics, including public lands, mining, wildlife, and Indian country. Gianforte said landing a spot on the committee was a top priority after being sworn in last week.
I think in a large part, effective leadership here will allow us to revitalize Montana's natural resources in a responsible way. Because of its oversight in public lands, there's an opportunity to work to improve access for sportsmen, and I look forward to doing that as well.
Former Montana Representative Ryan Zinke, who is now Interior Secretary, also served on the Natural Resources Committee. Gianforte is serving out Zinke's term. Gianforte will also serve on the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, which is the chamber's watchdog arm against government fraud and waste. Law enforcement officers in northwestern Montana believe a body that was recovered from the Flathead River is that of a 23-year-old Nebraska man who went missing last month. Richard Mitchell of Minotaur, Nebraska, fell into the fast-moving water on May 31st after passing warning signs at a scenic overlook just below the SQK Dam on the Flathead Indian Reservation. Lake County Sheriff Don Bell says a fisherman spotted the body yesterday in a section of the Flathead River west of Ronan. The body is being sent to the state crime lab in Missoula for identification and to determine the cause of death. Motorists, rejoice. Glacier National Park opened the full 50 miles of its iconic Going to the Sun Road today. Nikki Willette reports.
After weeks of plowing, installing guardrails, and removing rock debris, park officials have deemed the road safe for vehicular traffic. Now that its long-awaited opening is finally here, park spokesperson Lauren Alley reminds motorists to keep an eye out for wildlife, mind the road's steep sides, and
plan for some crowding. Plan to have to wait for a parking spot at a lot of locations.
Alley says early birds are more likely to nab coveted parking spaces at Logan Pass and suggests to visit popular spots at off hours to avoid the crowds. This year wraps up a decade of road rehabilitation projects. Visitors should expect construction delays of up to 30 minutes at some points west of Logan Pass. The Logan Pass Visitor Center is open daily from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Restrooms and drinking water are available. Trails at the pass are still covered in snow and some remain closed. Cyclists are restricted to biking the road before 11 a.m. and after 4 p.m. The park's free shuttle will begin service between Apgar Village and the St. Mary Visitor Center starting July 1st. Going to the Sun Road first opened in 1933 and is today considered a feat of engineering, climbing more than 3,000 feet to reach Logan Pass along the Continental Divide. Historically, June 28th is one of the later dates for the road to open. However, it's a rather average opening day in recent years. More information about Going to the Sun Road's status is on our website, mtpr.org. I'm Nikki Willette.
Two Democratic governors are saying that the Senate health care proposal would devastate their conservative-leaning states. Montana Governor Steve Bullock joined Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards today in outlining their concerns over Republican efforts to dismantle the Affordable Care Act. Bullock says GOP proposals would hurt rural communities. According to a report by the Montana Healthcare Foundation, the state could lose $5.3 billion in federal funding between 2020 and 2026 if the Senate plan passes. The Fort Peck tribes have filed a complaint against the Wolf Point School District, alleging pervasive discrimination against Native American students in violation of federal law. The complaint alleges tribal students do not have equal access to education and extracurricular activities. It claims they are often treated so badly by fellow students, teachers, and administrators that they quit athletic teams, drop out or transfer to other schools, and some contemplate, attempt, or complete suicide. The Assiniboine and Sioux tribes of the Fort Peck Indian Reservation are asking the Federal Education and Justice Departments to investigate allegations that Native Americans are disciplined more than white students and are not encouraged to take advanced classes. Attorneys for the school say the district strives to meet its obligations under the law and will cooperate with any federal investigation. Two Yellowstone National Park visitors were injured today after bison butted them at Mud Volcano just north of Lake Village, park officials said. The Billings Gazette reports Utah residents Theodore Schrader, 74, and Patsy Holmes, 72, were taking photographs on a boardwalk when a bison approached them. The animal butted Holmes, who fell into Schrader. Park rangers helped get the couple to a nearby clinic. Schrader had minor injuries, but Holmes was flown to an Idaho Falls medical facility. It marks the first confirmed incident of bison injuring visitors this year. Yesterday, Blackfeet tribal members rejected a measure to reform their constitution. Nikki Ouellette reports.
The proposed reform constitution would have drastically revamped the structure of the tribe's government by establishing a three-branch system with built-in checks and balances. But that change was rejected by tribal members. Instead, the tribe will retain its current 9-member single-branch governing body, called the Tribal Business Council, which has been in place for the past 82 years. Dawn Gray is a Blackfeet tribal member who led an opposition group to the proposed reform. She supports changing the tribe's constitution, but says this version did not offer enough opportunities for public involvement.
So I would really like to see the Blackfeet Tribal Business Council sit down with everybody at a meeting and say, okay, let's outline a constitutional convention process, and where do we begin?
She says the tribe is in a good position to begin that process now and build on what people have learned.
The Blackfeet people have a pretty good starting point, and we've got to keep the momentum going so that we can get to change, but we want that driven by the people and not a political agenda.
Tribal Business Council member Joe McKay, who led the failed reform effort, could not be reached for comment. Slightly less than 3,000 of the more than 13,000 eligible tribal members voted in Tuesday's secretarial election administered by the Bureau of Indian Affairs. The final vote tally was 1,279 in favor, with 1,644 opposed. The vote comes a year after the Tribal Business Council voted 8-1 in favor of the proposal. Supporters said the new structure would have addressed failures in the current single-branch system and protected tribal members from government corruption. Opponents said the measure would have concentrated too much power in the president's position and feared the proposed language could have opened up tribal membership enrollment. I'm Nikki Ouellette, Montana Public Radio.